Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into Google Analytics and looking at what the most essential parts of it are for e-commerce growth. So let's get started. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Very well. How are you doing?
It's good. It's nice to have you back. I haven't had you on the podcast for a couple of weeks.
Well, a few holidays.
Kids are back to school now after 6 months of lockdown.
I think a lot of people are like that. They kind of like, suddenly you get the kids to school, and you get back to the house, and you're like, oh, this is what it's like to have a quiet house.
Alive.
To have your own thoughts.
Yeah. I know. Yes, and then we're back. So, welcome. Hello.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
How are you doing?
Well, I've done podcasts for 6 months. I've just missed I've missed a couple.
It does feel like a long time. Weeks. It does feel like a long time.
Yeah, it does.
I had to talk to other people, Ian. It was awkward.
I must have been tough. I know you're an introvert.
Yeah. Anyway, today we're going to talk about Google Analytics and really what the most important bits of it are for e-commerce. Because obviously, Google Analytics is written for pretty much any website. So, you know, your lead generation website, like a lawyer's website, or, you know, all sorts of different websites that do all sorts of different, you know, functionality. And so therefore, in Google Analytics, there's only certain things that are relevant to us as e-commerce people. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people kind of, especially newbies, they go into Google Analytics and they kind of like, oh my God, this is like Darth Vader's bathroom. And they think they can never understand it. And they, mm-hmm. And that's kind of a mistake, because actually, the bits that we all of us need to look at is actually not that much of it. So it's very
and
useful.
Also, it's also there's certain things that you need to look at, and it's only if those stats aren't that good or they're below average do you need to go and look at more. You know, so, you know, there's a top level stats, and then, you know, from those top level stats, if you then need to go further in, then, of course, the data's there. But it's that top of you. And I think that's where, you know, first of all, you've got to know what to look at. You've got to know what to ignore, and you've got to know what to look at. And then when you know what to look at, then you've got to know what those stats should be on average. Because you don't know if you're good or bad. So we might say, well, one of the stats you've got to look at is your bounce rate overall. Well, we can tell you where that is in Google Analytics, but then you've got to know, well, what is the average bounce rate overall? So you've got to know, you know, that's 40%. Because if you didn't know the overall bounce rate for a website was 40% and yours is 70%, you go, oh, what the hell? You know, so you need to know, you know, roughly what those stats should be. And then if yours is higher or lower, then you can go, oh, that's interesting. You know, I wonder why that is. And then you can go into the bounce rate. You can go, well, okay, where are they bouncing? Well, are they bouncing on homepage, category, product, or somewhere else? And then you can start to then delve into it. That's a really good example, isn't it? I mean, well, conversion rate. You know, if your conversion rate's low, you then look at bounce rate overall. If your bounce rate's too high, you then go and look at where the bounce rate's too high, and that's either category, home, or product, mostly. And then you break those down, and well, if it's a category, which category? So it sort of, you know, it leads you down a path, but there's no point looking at your bounce rate on a product page if that isn't a stat that is useful. You know, you can be completely lost in it. You've got to have that overall picture of the basics of Google Analytics. And I thought, I think it's a really useful one to do. And I thought maybe what I could do is share today on the call. If I was meeting an e-commerce client for the first time, and before I even speak to anybody, I say, right, well, let me have a look at your Google Analytics, because
I don't even need to look at the front end of the website. You know, I find if I look at the front end of the website before I look at the Google Analytics, I become, you know, biased and I become emotional because I think, well, that doesn't look that good. And I think it's probably the fact, you know, the homepage isn't structured well, or they haven't followed the checklist that we put together in the book on the product page. So, but actually, you need to look at the Google Analytics first. And there's certain things that I always do, which just tell a story behind the scenes of what's going on. I thought that might be just quite, it's very, very simple. I mean, it's something, if anyone has ever spoke to me about it, you'll know it's the same, you know, it's like six screen grabs with some circles on it. I think it's quite useful to just pull off, actually. So unless you've got anything to say, Mark, I'll go in.
Well, I think I think that's right, because I think that it's basically like a bit like Warren Buffett, the way he values shares. He says he doesn't go and look at the valuation of the share actually to see what the price is until he's actually done the work to work out what he thinks it might be valued. So it's a bit like that. You're kind of like, you're actually going and looking at the data and the stats before you go and look at the front end of the website to actually try and work out what's wrong. Because if you go and look at the front end of the website, you'll go, they're not doing this, this, and this. But then that might be a market where people are adding to the basket very easily, and there might be a problem somewhere else, or there might be a really high bounce rate, but you wouldn't know. So you go into the stats, you understand what might be wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it takes away the emotion. You're just looking at basic rational maths then. Because you might find that, I mean, the example we always used to give is, you know, you'd be going through a client's website and you'll go in the checkout and you'll go and you get to the checkout and you go, oh my God, you know, they're still doing this, or they've not got that implemented, or, you know, and you go, oh, that's awful. Now, but if you look at the stats, you know, and you know that on average, the people who go from the checkout to order is about 85%. And, you know, despite the fact that the checkout is awful on this particular website, you might look at the stats and go, well, actually, their checkout to order stat is 90%. So even though it's appalling, you know, shoppers are fine. You know, they're getting through it because the problem is much more at the start, which is the add to basket stat. So, you know, it's why you can't look at a website from the front end perspective and start making decisions alone. Obviously, you do need to look at the front end, but you need to look at the background, and then you go look at it.
Yeah, it gives you too much to do, because obviously someone, you know, like I go and look at the website, and you go, someone say, well, what's wrong with this website? I would see a ton of things that was wrong, you know, with it that could possibly done. And I say, oh, you do all these things. That might be like 100 things. It's completely overwhelming, isn't it? But you actually want to know which thing is the most important thing to do next. Yeah. And by coming
what is the minimum effort? What's the minimum lever? What's the biggest lever we can pull right now for the minimum effort? And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, we get asked that a lot. Oh, can you just have a look at our website? What do you think? You know, we'll go and look at the site. Give me your opinion. Well, you're right. It's absolutely, you know, we can't give us your GA access. Then we can tell you. We go, right, you are down here. You're weak there. You're high here. You know, and then you can start to build a picture. Make some decisions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's the story you go through with the sheet?
Essentially, you know, what we're looking for really is anything that is, you know, higher than that's doing well, and anything that's doing badly, and we ignore the stuff in the middle. So because there's too much data there. So what I tend to look at is the first one is, I mean, just to put it in perspective, obviously traffic, average order value, conversion rate, you know, they're the three main stats that obviously mean you generate revenue and you influence those three. But those are all hidden in amongst lots of different areas. But that is obviously the picture, you know, traffic times conversion rate times average order value. But what I initially look for is the first tab, which is the audience overview tab. And that's on the left-hand side. And I look for the following things on that tab. You have things like, obviously, the users and how many sessions you've got. And then, but the ones I'm looking at is the new versus returning visitor, the percentage, and that's the little pie chart on the right-hand side. and you're looking to see, you know, what the ratio is. So for a new site, you'd expect, you know, the blue bit would be bigger than the green bit. But for a good, well-optimized site that's got a bit of repeat business coming in for, you know, for a good few years, you know, the ultimate, you want that to be 50-50. You want a healthy mix of new versus returning. And then I look at the pages per session, and you want that to be about 5 on average. And then you look at the bounce rate. And the bounce rate is that there is the overall bounce rate. And the overall bounce rate, as I said before, should be 40%. You know, as a general average. So that's on the first tab. So that's quite an interesting one. So you can compare yourself against those. And then, you know, you start to look at the desktop mobile tablet split.
And you look at that's moving down.
Yeah.
And that's go to the mobile and then overview.
Yeah. And I look at the percentage of the users for each of those three. And typically you'll find that, you know, mobile might be 40%, desktop might be 40%, and tablet might be 20%. But what you're really looking at is the conversion rate and revenue percentage for each of those ones. And on average, you find that if desktop converts at 3%, mobile converts at 1.5%, tablet converts at 2%. So that's desktop converts twice as high as mobile. And obviously, this is massively sweeping statements, but that's generally where we would start as a benchmark. So if you find that your mobile site is not is converting less than half of your desktop, then you go, right, there might be some opportunity. But if you go, so clients might say, oh, mobile's converting terribly. And I'll say, well, desktop's converting at 4%, mobile's converting at 2%. That's actually probably about right. You know, because they're expecting maybe that the mobile will convert at the same rate as desktop. And of course, it doesn't. It uses a research device. You know, so, and go on. Anything?
Well, obviously, the mobile tends to have a lower average session duration because people kind of find it more difficult medium to buy from it. And therefore, they actually spend less time. So you're up against more friction because you're literally on a smaller device. So it's going to depend on, you know, if you've got certain products that lend themselves to mobile buying or certain products that don't. I mean, if someone's buying something for £1,000 and it's like a piece of furniture, it's unlikely that the majority of people are going to buy that sofa on the mobile because they actually really want to have a look at it. You know, they already can't sit on it and touch it and do different stuff. So therefore, the mobile is going to be, you know, smaller. Whereas the thing on the mobile, you might sell like side tables and nesting tables and things like that that are obvious that they can see on the mobile that they will buy. So you have to work out what you're selling and then to understand whether or not that makes sense.
I mean, you know, like the same thing as your bounce rate. Your bounce rate for desktop normally is about 35% overall, whereas your bounce rate for mobile is normally about 54-55%. So you know, and your pages per session for mobile normally about 3 pages per session, for desktop normally about 5.9, something like that. We'll call it 6. Split in half.
One thing I wanted to point out just before you went on is sometimes I see someone and they come along and go, oh, I'm all right, my bounce rate's only 1% or something really, really low. And that can be, if you've basically, that means that everybody's not bouncing, and that's always wrong. There's usually a bounce rate of at least 20%. That's like the lowest I've ever seen it. And the reason that you've got a bounce rate of about 1% or even lower is because you've probably got some pop-up or banner or something coming up on every single session for the user that Google thinks is an interaction, and it's not. So you need to make sure that those, if you've got a bounce rate of like 1% or even 0%, that you're setting the code as I think it's non-interaction equals true on those banners, so it doesn't mask your actual bounce rate, because that you're in the dark then. If everybody doesn't bounce, you don't know. I mean, for start, you can't take, you don't want to remarket to people who bounce because they're just not engaged. So if you've got that wrong, you can't even take them out. So you can't, you know, you need to get that fixed.
Yeah, bounce, but, you know, just to define what a bounce is, bounce in Google Analytics is where somebody lands on a page and literally just doesn't do anything, disappears. Mm. Whereas an exit is someone who's clicked through on a page previously and then disappeared. So but the bounce is often one of the most interesting ones because it's the most fundamental place to focus your attention on. You know, it's like coming into a shop on the high street and you're going over to a category of, you know, something on the shelf and then just literally running out of the shop. You're like, if loads of people are going over to that category and just running out, you'd be like, what's wrong with that category?
Yeah.
You know, so that's where you focus your time. And so once
could be someone that came on the website for 10 minutes and doesn't touch anything. That would still be a bounce.
Yeah.
It would still be it's just non-interaction.
But we say that, but actually that's, you know, in an e-commerce world, that doesn't happen really, does it? It's very, very rare.
Bored, you know, of that page.
They get bored. They literally have no attention span whatsoever. And, you know, like we always say, you know, imagine your customers have had 2 gin and tonics and the kids are running around screaming and they literally, you know, have no time to look at it. So you've just got to treat them like that. So I think, you know, the bounce rate is really, really key. Now, if you've got enhanced analytics set up, you can start to, in fact, you don't need enhanced analytics set up, but you can start to work out the conversion rate. Now, the conversion rate in Google Analytics, it's completely meaningless, really. It doesn't help. It's just, you know, you have to break the conversion rate down into 3 things, which, of course, if anyone's listened to the podcast will know, we break it down to add to basket, basket to checkout, and checkout to order. And the basic average is the following: add to basket, 10%, basket to checkout, 50%, and checkout to order, 85%. And that's like a well-optimized site and a really good experience. But sometimes when we're looking at Google Analytics in the first time, particularly if enhanced analytics is not set up, you can't see that, you know, because it's not been set up properly. So what we're looking at then is the bounce rate. And the first thing I often look at is the landing pages. And that's what I'm interested in, because the bounce rate by landing pages, because that shows which shows me two things. Yeah.
Site content, landing pages.
Yeah. And the reason why that's interesting is because it shows you where your main traffic is landing. And, you know, and that could be from paid campaigns, from, you know, organic, social, referrals, email. It's like it's everything. It's like these are the most powerful pages. And of these most powerful pages, you can see how many people are bouncing. And it's like, Jesus Christ, just focus on that. You know, so it tells you where you need to spend your time. You know, don't mess around focusing on a page that only 5 people have landed on in the last month. Focus on one that where 15,000 people have landed on in the last month. And the bounce rate of it is higher than average. So it's so important. And, you know, you need to do this as a one-off, of course, but you need to do this. It needs to become part of your daily life. I mean, you should do it every single week. You should be obsessed with it because it's literally where the money is. So to give you some context, what we're looking at here is we've split the pages up into home, category, and product. And obviously we've got the basket and the checkout, but they come into the basket to checkout and checkout to order conversion rate stats. What we're really bothered about here is the first one, which is the add to basket stat. So, you know, and they are either going to land on home, category, or product. You know, a new visitor isn't going to land on the basket, you know, or the checkout. They're going to come in from either home, category, or product. So product should bounce no more than 60%, category no more than 50%, and home no more than 20%. So then straight away, you've got a benchmark to look at. So you can then see, okay, well, right, of my top 20 landing pages, what is this ratio between? And you can do it for bigger numbers as well, you know, 50, 100. You know, how many people, what is the percentage landing on our home? How many category, how many products, and which are the ones that are bouncing most, you know, out of those top 20 product page landings,
whether the most popular, how many of them are higher than 60% bounced? You can go through them and you can go, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, we've had, you know, 50% of all of our landing pages are going to these three product pages and they've got a bounce of 85%. Jesus Christ, what the hell is wrong? You know, it could be that the product was out of stock. It could be that the product was just far priced wrong. It could, like, you've got to know this. You've got to look at it, you know, because it's like if you could see these people coming into your physical shop, if you considered your website to be a physical bricks and mortar store, you saw that, you know, 50% of everyone who came into your shop went over to a product, picked it up, and then just disappeared, ran out of the shop. You'd be like, what's wrong with it? You know, there's something wrong with you. You'd be freaking out. You could see it. So, that, you know, all the data's there.
Yeah, so it's interesting what you're talking about on the landing pages here, because if you've got a product page that has, let's say you've got, like, you know, gets one of the most sessions on the website, that is one of the most popular landing pages, and it has a high bounce rate. One of the ways you can actually start to uncover a little bit more information about it is you can find that page, instead of in landing pages, go to all pages in Google Analytics, find that page that's been bouncing really, really highly, and then click on it. So you go into it, and then at the top, just where next to where it says Explorer, if you go to Navigation Summary, that'll tell you exactly where people are going next on that page. So that'll give you an idea that if people are bouncing, but some people are finding something next, what maybe you might want to add to that page. So I was looking at this page and I can see that, you know, some people actually, this was looking at a trouser page. Some people are actually wanting to go and look at shoes, and some people are actually wanting to go and look at other trousers. So therefore you could start to see what you might put onto that page to increase the engagement by making it easier for everybody to go down that most popular route. So I thought I'd just add that.
That's a very good point. Yeah, it's a very good point. Because exactly what you want to be able to do is stop them bouncing. You want to continue the journey.
Yeah.
You know, and often we say on the product pages that the mistake people make on product pages now is that they forget that the product pages are the new landing pages. You know, and you know, 5 years ago, they used to go through home, category, product page. By the time they got to the product page, they knew where they were. You know, they could quite easily go back. Whereas now they're landing on the product page. And if that product page is a dead end page, there's nowhere else to go. So where are they going to go? They're going to go back into Google.
You know, yeah.
You've lost them.
You always want to be finding where the river's flowing. So if the river, you know, if you've got a small river flowing from this page to this page, then you say, well, if I actually make that easy, a lot more people will go down that channel because I've made it more obvious for them. So we're flowing with the traffic, we're flowing with what users want to do, and we are then increasing the engagement of our site massively because we're making it very easy for them to do what they actually want to do. It's very similar to the buyers. The actual buyers are very similar to the almost buyers. And if you think about the product landers, the product clickers are very similar to the people who almost didn't click. So therefore, it's always a similar, a lot of people are always in similar boats. So that's how you can optimize. And then you were saying after the landing pages, Ian, you would go to the channels. You start going into channels.
Yeah. So, I mean, it probably would have, I mean, I probably moved up here and do these in different orders. But yes, I'd go and look at the channel breakdown, which is a channel overview.
So that's in acquisition, all traffic, channels.
Yeah. And what it basically gives is your top channels of traffic. And it gives you the conversion rate from each one as well and the revenue. And it just, it's a basic one. So, you know, because we would know, like, a certain business, we would go, right, this is an email business. So therefore, we'd expect 50% of the revenue would be coming through email, and or we'd say, "Well, this is a social business, or this is a." And so you start to look at the split of what's the percentage of traffic and conversion and revenue by channel, and then you go, "Oh my God, you know, there's a massive opportunity because there are, you know, email only accounts for 15% of their revenue, and that really should be much higher." So you therefore have a hunch they're not pushing it as hard as it could be. There's more to go for.
One of the common mistakes in Google Analytics you see is if you go into that channel and you see that all your revenue, or a lot of your revenue, is coming from referrals, and you click into that, you sometimes see that the referrals are coming from PayPal or a self-referral from your own website. So you've actually got to go in and set up some referral exclusions for those, so that therefore the actual channel gets the credit for it. Because if it's coming, if PayPal's saying it's generated a sale, it means that it's taking it away from paid search and those ones. And therefore, especially if you're using paid search to link back to your Google Ads as a tracking, that means you're not getting all the sales. So you've got to be careful with that, to make sure there's no false referrers.
I think that's a really good point just to touch on at this stage, is making sure that the data is accurate. I mean, you've got to make sure, and I think, you know, it can take a bit of time to, where, you know, whenever we're advising a client, it can take a bit of time to get the data right. You've got to have cast iron. None of this, well, we think that isn't reporting correctly, or, you know, we might be double counting, or, you know, we don't trust Google Analytics because, you know, it doesn't record. That's not right. You've got to get it right. You've got to be accurate with it. You know, if your call center are putting orders through it, you know, exclude it through an IP address, or, you know, just get it accurate.
Yeah. And it's especially important because if you think about Google Ads, a lot of the algorithms that they're building are based around good data. So you've got these the most powerful artificial intelligence algorithms out there trying to build you revenue. And if you're sending them bad data, it's just not going to be as good as someone who's sending them good data. So you've got to get it right. And if you think about Google Analytics as a foundation for it, at least even if you're using different tracking in Google Ads, you know, the website tracking, at least you've got something to compare it to actually know whether it's on point. Because it's only going to get better, the things you can do and things that Google are going to allow you to do with their algorithms and their things. And it's going to be our job as e-commerce owners to make sure we're putting the best data into that system, because that's our job.
You're making fundamental decisions on the back of it. You know, you're saying, right, okay, we're doing, you know, 2.5 million now. We want to get to 5 million in 3 years' time. You know, the KPIs that we've got now are the following. And in order to get to 5 million, the KPIs need to be this, and that's average order value needs to go from 50 to 60, our conversion rate needs to go from 3 to 4, you know, and our traffic. And, you know, the answers behind that are in Google Analytics. You know, this is how you're tracking it. So if you're making decisions based on, you know, the future revenue of the business and the data that's coming in, then all of a sudden you go, oh God, you know, actually, we completely cocked up the stats here. I mean, it's ridiculous. You've got to have that confidence in your data.
Yeah.
So a couple of other highlights, because we just know they're interesting. Speed, we know, is important. You've got to make sure the site is quick. And in Google Analytics, you know, it does tell you which pages are slow and which pages are fast.
Behavior, and then site speed, and then overview. And that'll tell you the overall site speed.
And then you're looking at really the average paid load time should be, I mean, obviously Google Analytics is loading all sorts of things, but so it must be really below 4%. That's what you really want to go for.
4 seconds.
Sorry, 4 seconds.
Yeah,
average paid load, which sounds really slow, but by the time it's loaded all its scripts and things, that's about what, you know, that's a reasonably quick site. And then you're looking at search is always an interesting one to track, because search really tells you what people want. And that's interesting.
That's in behavior, and that's in site search. And then that's, you can see that in overview there. And now if you're not tracking site search, you have to go into admin, and then you have to go into, I think it's in view settings on the right-hand side, and then turn on site search tracking. And then you have to put your query parameter in, which usually is just a queue. But basically what you do is you go onto your website, you put a search in, so you search for socks or whatever, and then you'll see in the URL that something equals socks. So in terms of Magento, it's Q equals socks. So you put Q in there. And then once you've got that in there, then Google Analytics will start pulling off your site search traffic. I think I'm just going to look what it is for Shopify whilst you keep talking.
Yeah. That's what I was going to do as well.
Yeah, can't for the life
of me.
Well,
you do that Shopify enough site. I've got one.
Okay.
Let's do it. Socks.
Yeah. And anyway, so the reason you want to track your searches is because and once you get them tracking in Google Analytics, you can then actually go and see the site exits against each search, and also the conversion rate and the revenue generating on each search. So you can see very clearly what people are looking for, which they can't find in the navigation. So therefore you need to make the navigation more easy. And you can also see which pages those searches are being done.
Yeah,
on.
It's
so
Q. You,
it's Q. Yes, I thought it was
Q. Yeah, it's Q again. So it's Q. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I think so on average, you'd say, well, okay, how many people are using search? So on average on a B2C site, you'd normally say about 5 or 6% of people would be using search. And a B2B site, it can be 15%. So that's always quite useful. And the reason why we track search is because when people search for something on your site, they always convert higher. And that isn't because search is an amazing thing. It just means they know what they want.
Well, it's an engagement device, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an engagement device. Well, they're further down the buying cycle, aren't they? You know, if someone's actually searching for something on your site, they come to the site to find something. Whereas if they come to the site and just browse around. So, you know, so you do want to try to get people to search. So the search has got to be good. And so what you'd expect, though, is just as a general rule of thumb to see how good your search system is working, we'd expect the conversion rate uplift for internal search to be between 3 and 4 times the normal conversion rate. So if your site is converting at 2%, you'd expect search to convert at 8%, up to 8%. So, for example, if you saw that your site was converting at 2% and your internal search was converting at only 4%, so it's only double, it's only twice, you'd think, right, there's something wrong there. And that's great because that shows you could there's money to be had by investing in a better search or optimizing your search. Whereas if you find, well, you know, it is already converting at 4 times and the client will say, oh, we want to go and invest in a, you know, £3,000 a month search tool, you say, well, it's already converting quite well. You know, are you going to get that back? You know,
one thing you do have to be careful of. There's other money that you can spend. What you have to be careful of sometimes is if your Google Ads team or even yourself as a Google Ads person or someone in your other channels are using search results in their landing pages, because that will artificially increase your search use traffic. And one of the best ways to do that is just to use the segment no bounces in analytics and get rid of all the bounces. Because if you think about it, someone who uses site search is not a bounce by their very definition, because they've actually used it, clicked it, and then used it. For the people landing on a site search results page, which you've pre-configured, and then bouncing, obviously that's traffic that didn't actually use site search, or just removing those people who land on site search landing pages, because you've got to filter those out. So that's just a caveat, because I've done it myself. Yeah. I've like gone, oh, I need a web site for stripy pajama bottoms and stuff like that. And the only way I've been able to do it is actually by using a search result. And then that can skew it a little bit. So it's good to kind of like peel away the false data so you can actually see how your search is performing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so and then I think once you've done that, you've looked at your bounce and your search and your categories and things like that. Then you're looking at the actual conversion rate, which is e-commerce overview, which is obviously one that probably most people will know and look at. And really, what you're looking at, apart from just the conversion rate, which we'll come on to in a second, but is the average order value, of course. But the amount of items per order, so your unique purchases versus your quantity, because you're looking at things like, well, how many things are people buying, and obviously that's significant because
in e-commerce overview, the only way to see the average orders is you can change the graph at the top, and you can change revenue to be average quantity. And I think, what was the other one you did? Unique purchases, you can put that on as well. So you can see that in the graph.
So unique purchase would mean, you know, if somebody was buying two of the same thing, it's quite interesting.
Or now come up as one unique purchase.
Yeah. So that, so you get an idea of things like that. And, you know, again, you'd look at certain businesses and you'd go, wow, these guys should be doing at least three products per order, but they're only doing one. You know, or so you can look, there's an opportunity here to go. I mean, like with average order value, there's only two ways you increase the average order value. It's more expensive products or it's more items per order.
One good way to look at it is to look at your transactions versus unique purchases, and that'll give you an idea about how often people are buying something other than the main thing that they were on the product page. So it's either, you know, either they're on the product page adding two of that item quite often, which means that your average quantity to per basket's two, but your actual unique products per basket might be one. So you get an idea for how people are buying, and therefore you can decide what the flow on the website needs to be. You know, we were looking at Stuart's sites the other day, and he sells silver jewelry, and it's just people only buy that gift, that one gift. So there's no point in him saying, oh, people buy this, buy something else, because they just don't. It's just a completely against the river, and therefore it becomes, right, the upsell needs to be on the product page and maybe a sweetie page between the basket and the checkout. So understanding how people are buying, and, you know, you're never going to turn, like, you know, we used to work with a company called Just Ingredients. They would buy like five things for the basket, you know, because they buy herbs and spices. You're never going to get a women's dress website doing the same thing. You're never going to buy five dresses. So you really have to understand the flow of the website and how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, then we obviously going into the big, you know, the biggest one, which is conversion rate. And that's where, you know, if you've got the enhanced analytics set up, which is great, makes it easy. If you haven't, then you need to do some event tracking.
So if you want to see enhanced e-commerce, you go in under overview in e-commerce is the shopping behavior, and then in there you would see all sessions with product views, sessions with add to basket, sessions with checkout, and sessions with transactions. So if that's set up, you should be able to see your add to basket percentage right there. And if you've got Shopify, you know, that'll be done for you pretty much. If you're on other things, you will have to probably set it up.
Yeah. And the reason why sometimes it can be quite complicated to set up is because you might have an add to basket pop up or that might take you straight to the basket. Or sometimes you have a mini basket in the drop in the header of your website that takes you straight to the checkout. So you don't even go to the shopping basket, which, of course, is something we talk about as a potential no-no. But but generally, you know, that's where, you know, you're looking at things like the, you know, the add to basket stat. So before we would do, this is really where the true growth comes in. And if you don't know your add to basket percentage and your basket to order percentages, you can't optimize. You can't grow. You know, you're completely blind. You've got to know those fundamental ones, you know. I've said two there. I combined the basket to checkout and checkout to order as one, but actually, at least that's quite useful. But ideally, you want to know add to basket, how many people get to the basket, of the people in the basket, how many people go to the checkout, and of the people in the checkout, how many people go to place their order. Like, unless you know those, unless you're monitoring that, you know, you're screwed. You know, you can't really grow. You're completely blind, and your development roadmap is then all over the place. Scattergun approach. Again, you're looking at the front end of the website. You're going, oh, I think the checkout's clunky, or I think the product page needs work. And you absolutely have to know add to basket, basket to checkout, and checkout to order.
Yeah,
and remember, they should be 10%, 55, 85.
Well, so one thing to say is sometimes it is an absolute pain in the ass to get enhanced e-commerce set up for certain websites. So the way what I've done to get around that sometimes is just by adding a Google event to trigger when someone clicks the add to basket button wherever it is. And you can pretty much get most of the stuff from that. So we can build like a Google Data Studio dashboard based on just that event, or we can build it based on the enhanced e-commerce. And that gives us pretty much what we want. So, you know, yeah. if you're kind of going, oh, my God, I've got to get enhanced e-commerce set up, and you're using some kind of, you know, bespoke software, and, you know, the development team saying, oh, that's going to be £40,000 or something ridiculous, you can say, look, just put an add to basket yeah. event on the,
just put an event.
Basket button, and we can get everything we need from that, because it's, you can just go, how many uniques adds to session add to baskets were there in each session, and then how many sessions were there, and you just divide the add to baskets by the sessions, and that gives you your add to basket rate. And then also you can start to see, you know, product pages, which product pages have a low add to basket rate, and all that kind of jazz. So once you've got the data, you can start to do some quite cool things
yeah.
to actually pull off where the low hanging fruit is, basically.
Yeah, and I think you can see why. I mean, for us, it's just an amazing thing to look at, because we're looking at Google Analytics for e-commerce clients all day, every day, and so you instantly know, you know, what's strong, what's weak. Whereas if you're just looking at your own, you say, well, okay, I can see these stats, but what the hell? What do they mean? What do I do? You know, how do I influence that? Yeah, okay, my bounce rate might be low, but what the hell? What next? And I mean, obviously, and that well, that's what I probably should read the book for, because it helps you go into it. But behind each stat, there's a whole load of other little things you can go and check. So if your bounce rate on your product page is greater than 60% on average, then go through the checklist, you know, go through the things on the product page that we're saying you need to check, and same thing for the category, same thing for the home. You know, most of the time, I think if you get the add to basket stat right, the rest of the site normally takes care of itself. Or certainly when they get into the checkout, you know, that kind of takes care of itself. Sometimes you see a problem in the basket to check out, particularly if you're selling other people's products. It's not your own brand. You're selling other brands.
Yeah.
Because they're using it as a price compare, aren't they?
Yeah, I have seen that. I mean, if you've got, you know, if you're not doing very much revenue, and you could have a high add to basket rate, but it's because you haven't been clear about your delivery, and people are literally just adding to the basket to try and find out what the delivery cost is. So you can have an artificially high add to basket rate and no sales, and that will be the reason. It's because basically you're not being clear enough on the product page, so you're forcing people to actually add to basket to find out the information. So therefore, the people who get that far aren't actually that far in their mind. They haven't committed to buying that product, and therefore it can skew your stats. So, but most of the time, if you've got a good add to basket rate, like a really high add to basket rate, then, you know, you should be, you know, in a decent way to actually being successful. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, if your add to basket rate's ridiculously high, then you probably say you're not putting the website under enough pressure, and you should be driving more paid traffic at it, because the only way you're actually going to work out where your next KPI is to optimize would be by putting the website under pressure.
Yeah.
Under more pressure.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, what's interesting, I think, you know, when you initially talk to people about Google Analytics, what they probably do is they look at it from a revenue perspective. Okay, well, where's my revenue come from? You know, to as an attribution type model, whereas what everything that we've talked about tonight is actually analyzing the missed opportunities of the people that didn't convert. Yes, of course, we're interested in the ones that converted, but we're interested in the ones that didn't quite convert that should have done, and how we can get them to convert, because you want to grow your revenue, you know, so you can sit back and analyze for months about, well, where did these sales come from, whereas actually you need to know, well, where did the people leave that should have bought? You know, because if you go with the sites converting at 3% on average, you've got 97% of people that didn't buy. And well, why, what, and it's the next few percent. So I think that's probably quite interesting. I think when most people will just automatically use analytics to go and check historical data. Well, what happened in the past? Where did these sales come from? And it's interesting. I've only just sort of figured that out, that actually we see it more as a tool that showed us where sales should have come from but didn't. Where were the drop-offs, bounce rates, and search not converting? It's where the opportunities are to grow.
I think that's the, you put your detective hat on, don't you? So basically, what you know and the information we've given people is that the almost doers are very similar to the doers. So if you know that, and then you can say, right, well, the doers are doing this. So how can I make it easier for the almost doers to do that? So if you kind of know those two information, you can start finding those almost doers and work out, what did the doers do that I can help those almost doers do? So that could be like making sure that the path's more obvious. And then, of course, if you can't work that out from Google Analytics, you can then go and ask those buyers and say, well, you know, what almost stopped you from buying? And then you can go back to those almost doers and go, right, now I know this information, I'm going to put this bit of reassurance in here. I'm going to change my returns policy to give that, you know, the bit more risk, you know, the bit more confidence around the purchase. I'm going to talk about how the delivery happened. You know, those things you can go back into, and then you can see, go back into analysis and say, was I right? And you go, oh, okay, more people are now buying at that stage. Great, I've figured it out. So it's like the first part of your detective journey, isn't it, really, is analytics. Mm. So getting analytics right and understanding what it is the part of it. And one thing I say to people is, if you're freaked out by Google Analytics, just go into it every other day and just look at it. We're even thinking I'm not going to understand anything, but get used to it, how it is a pattern on the screen, because, and start clicking around it, because the brain will just start becoming more familiar with it. And then they'll start going, oh, okay, I've seen that before. That's not as scary as it was. Now I can see that. You know, it'll just happen. There's no way you can just come and sit down at Google Analytics the first time and just be, oh, yeah, I'm fine with this. It's all this data. It's too much.
Yeah, we don't know where to look at.
No.
It just becomes overwhelming. And then you just go, oh, I can't do this. And actually, my God, it's awesome. It's free.
Yeah, free.
Yeah. It's a brilliant tool. You know, and it'll become your absolute guide. It really will.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, put this, that's what we use. We don't use anything else, really. We have a few other bits, but, you know, it's key, absolutely key.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Ian, for that that podcast. And hopefully people will enjoy it. And we will find another subject to entertain you with next week.
We'll do a Q&A next week.
Oh, yeah, we'll do a Q&A.
Let's get your questions in.
Yeah,
we'll answer them.
I've put live chat on the podcast site on Podbean. So ecommercestories@podbean.com. And there's a live chat on there. So if you've got any questions, just come on to that live chat and just post them on there, and then we'll answer them.
Cool.
So that'd be great. Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. Ian. Have a good evening.
Bye.